It's the Dr. Decker Weiss Show, the heart of integrative medicine. Now, here's your host.
Do you need a prescription pill for everything, especially your happiness? Does happiness come in a pill anymore, or is that even possible? Have we been marketed to believe that your blues, your depression, your mood swings could all be fixed with a pill? When we look at some of the data out there about the pressure to use medications, the FDA came out in a statement to physicians about 4 or 5 years ago and said that for a healthy adult, you should be on one medication for every decade of life. Now, I thought that was bizarre. I'm 48 years old. I'm on no medication, so I guess I'm 4.8 medications behind right now. But what I found very odd about that was, is it wasn't condition specific. It was just assuming that pharmacology was the be all and end all, and that if you want to get to 90 years and functional, that it was going to be a necessary part of it, which I strongly disagree. Now, we in the field of psychotherapy, in the field of psychiatry, we have a world-renowned expert joining us, Dr. Stephen Walker. He's nationally known mental health therapist and doctor. His website is licensedpsychology.com. Dr. Walker, welcome to the show.
Dr. Weiss, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Let's throw it out there. Is there a pill for every bit of blues out there?
Well, you know, if you watch TV and prime time, you'd believe that. Okay. You know, you'd believe the idea that if I'm just a little anxious or if I'm just a little depressed, this pill will alleviate that. And the reality of the situation is, you know, there's a reason they're finding these pills in the groundwater. I think the Associated Press did a study of 15 or 20 municipalities' drinking water and found that these prescription drugs were passing straight through the filtration systems because they're not set up to take that. And you as a physician know that a lot of times the dosages are too high, the body can't assimilate them, and they're just excreted out. So in reality, you know, no. I mean, what will help people is when we really embrace the idea that we all have issues. Everyone has some sort of trauma or some sort of emotional instability, and that's part of being a human being, but there are people who are well-trained who can help you deal with that.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot, Dr. Walker. Is the pharmaceutical industry in the development of healing therapies for mental, emotional disorders, instability, whatever, do you think that the pharmaceutical industry is getting in the way at this point?
Well, you know, I have to tiptoe around that question because I don't want to seem conspiratorial or.
Let me throw it different at you so I don't get you in trouble. Do you think that they hurt the effort of a broad range of ideas and therapies coming at a person with a mental emotional disorder? Do you think because they're always hammering pill, that they hurt psychotherapies, talk therapy, other therapies? Do you think they hinder that process just by being who they are?
Absolutely. I don't think they do it intentionally. I think it's sort of collateral damage, but absolutely. I think they condition people into the idea that mental health is now an organic disease like heart disease or diabetes. And you as a physician know that there's an ongoing debate, the chicken or the egg debate, which came first. The synaptic abnormalities that you find in serotonin levels or your neurotransmitter levels, did that come first? Or did the person just begin thinking negatively over and over about an event in their life that they can't control? Were they traumatized? Were they sexually abused? Did their parents go through a divorce? Did they get fired? Did they find their wife or husband cheating on them? Is that what happened which caused that abnormality?
Do you think it matters? Because if they come to you and they're having the criteria of, I think this is a good place to explore, Dr. Walker. Let's say a patient walks into your office and they are having, let's say non-suicidal for the show, non-suicidal feelings of depression, don't want to get out of bed, don't want to engage, all the sleep issues, all the things that can go with depression. Do you, in your clinical style and in your knowledge, do you have to know some of the underlying causes, or does it not matter what caused the chicken or egg? You can just put them into a therapy.
No. I'm very integrative, like you know you were talking about initially. I don't believe you can just force round pegs into a square hole. I do believe that you have to do a little bit of the investigative work. Like if somebody walks into your office and says, you know, I can't walk up a flight of stairs without breathing heavily, and you're going to find out, well, what's your diet? What's your history of heart disease? What's going on in your life around it? So, no, I do think we have to look at a little bit of how they got to this point. But one of the things I've found in working with people, especially with pain and depression, is we are conditioned by our media and our society to hate pain. All forms of pain have been stigmatized to the point where nothing good can come out of it, so it needs to be alleviated. And this is such a westernized view of pain and suffering, and it has given birth to this multi-trillion-dollar a year economy of selling people this idea that you can have a pain, unhappy, free life. And that's just mm-hmm. It's just a fallacy.
And do you believe then, I mean, do you tell patients that the pain, the emotional pain or whatever, is a message that something has to change in your therapies? Do you use that as part of guiding your therapies then and trying to empower them about the pain?
Absolutely. One of the things I do initially is I do an assessment of how they feel about their pain, how they feel about their depression and anxiety. And that's nine awesome. Times out of 10, you know what I hear? Nine times out of 10, I hate my depression. I hate my anxiety. And I try to educate people on the effects of hating what you're suffering with. And that is literally like throwing fuel on a fire and then expecting not to get burned. So yeah, absolutely. Part of what I try to help people do is retool, reframe what they're going through and develop a systematized way of approaching what they're suffering with. Because it's
Dr. Walker, give us some of those tools that you use. So we talked about the limits of pharmacology and now reframing the pain. What other tools do you use to treat mental, emotional disorders, things like that?
Well, one of the foundations of what I do is you know, the most heavily researched and scientifically, empirically validated form of therapy is cognitive behavioral therapy. And a lot of people know what that means. So basically what cognitive behavioral therapy is the idea that your cognitions affect your feelings, and then you set up this sort of, you know, feedback loop, which now I feel bad, so then I don't know how to think, and then I don't think, so now I feel bad. So one of the core foundations is the idea that we have a belief system in our head that tells us something about what's going on. And this is called the ABCs of thinking. It was initially pioneered by Albert Ellis. And the idea is that you get an activating event, then you have a belief about the activating event, and that belief causes feelings in the form of consequences. So everyone wants to change how they feel, but nobody's looking at their belief system, because it's your belief system that's affecting how you feel. That's part of it. Another part is called psychodynamic therapy, where you're going into the patient's family of origin. You're looking at how they were raised, what they learned. And another huge part is helping people identify how they were conditioned, because mm-hmm. not identifying your conditioning makes people literally feel like they're crazy. I don't know why I'm crazy. Why am I crazy? Why do I feel this way? And insight, if you know why you're feeling the way you do, where you learned it, it's a lot easier to manage.
Well, Dr. Walker, we of course are running low on time here. What I'm hearing from you is the single pond pharmaceutical approach we've been conditioned to believe might be the be all and end all. And in fact, it's not. In fact, what I'm hearing from you is that if you feel that a single therapy, just a pharmacologic approach to mental illness, depression of things, it's just not going to serve you. And I thank you for your work. You are at licensedpsychology.com. That is Dr. Stephen Walker joining us at Radio MD and RadioMD.com. And we're taking a multidisciplinary, multi-tooled approach to keeping you happy. And that's how we keep you staying well at Radio MD.